Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. We'll read verses 10 through 12. We'll read this passage together. 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verses 10 through 12. Second Samuel 23, verses 10 through 12. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hands was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. In verse number 12, let's read that together. Ready? But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Lord, in a world where fun and entertainment seems to be God, thank you that we have a God that we stand amazed at. Thank you that we have a preacher and a man of God that's not afraid to give us the truth from you. The Holy Spirit of God, please prepare our hearts, prepare our mind, prepare our spirits to receive from the man of God what you've given him for us, please. May we listen intently in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Tonight, I'm going to preach a sermon. Actually, I prepared this and I preached it to our teenagers not long ago. I had a total different sermon ready for this evening, a sermon that I'll probably preach next Sunday night. It's called When Peace Is Not So Peaceful. But for some reason, felt like this sermon would be very fitting for tonight. I had spoken it to our young people and then decided I would work on it a little and bring it to our congregation tonight. Of course, tonight the Super Bowl will be played. I have no respect for those churches who canceled services for the game. I just don't. I don't plan to apologize for that. But I don't have any problem with football. I love sports. I love competition. You know, the very first Super Bowl was played on January 15, 1967. Green Bay Packers versus Kansas City. The Packers won 35-10. Bart Starr was the very first MVP. Green Bay won the second Super Bowl. Bart Starr was the MVP then as well. Each year at the Super Bowl, they give away a trophy, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. He was the coach of the Green Bay Packers that led them to winning the first two Super Bowls. And if you know anything about Vince Lombardi, what a motivator. He was a man that knew something about this thing of motivating people towards success. You know, folks, we ought to want to be winners. We ought to want to be winners. I called a sermon tonight, and it's going to be, you might call it a little pep rally. It's going to be extremely practical. I call it Want to Be a Winner. Want to be a winner. We read earlier the story of David, and actually is a story about David's mighty men. A man by the name of Eliezer was one of David's mightiest of his men. Now, you might call him one of David's top dogs. And he faces a battle with the Philistines. There were only three men to fight an entire army of the Philistines. Eliezer was one of them. The Bible says Eliezer fought so hard for victory that at the end of the day, his hand clave to the sword. In other words, he wrapped his hand around that sword. He fought all day long with his hand wrapped around that sword. At the end of the day, he went back to his tent. His sword, his hand, his arm, a bloody mess. He walked back and tried to lay that sword down, and he couldn't get the sword out of his hand because he virtually had a Charlie horse in his hand wrapped around that sword, and they pried his fingers open to get that sword out of his hand. I'm going to guess that day Eliezer was fighting for a victory. He was fighting for a victory. He wanted to win. In verse number 10 of the passage of scripture that we read there, God calls that day a great victory. Shammah, another one of David's mighty men, the Israelites had a field of lentils. The Philistine army had come, that was the enemy, and they had scared all the Israelites away from this field. This field had their food in it, had their lentils or beans in it, if you will. And the Philistines came and they intimidated everybody and chased everybody off. There was one fellow by the name of Shammah. He by himself went out and stood in the middle of that field and he said, "Look, these beans belong to God." The Philistines said, "We're going to take your beans." He said, "Over my dead body," they said, "we'll try to arrange it." Do you understand? This one man stood in the middle of a field full of beans because they belonged to God. By himself, he fought a whole troop of the Philistines. Now, you understand who the Philistines are. The Philistines are that tribe from which Goliath, the enormous 9-foot, 9-inch monster, was from. These were huge, massive, mean, tough, vengeful warriors. One man stood in the middle of the field. He drew his sword and he said, "Bring it on. I'll stand here and fight." And he fought to win.
Yes, sir.
He fought to accomplish a victory. And in verse 12, God says of that day that there was a great victory. Now believe me, I believe those two men won. They won their battle. Why? Because they wanted to win. They were determined to win. I think God wants us as Christians to be winners. I think God wants us to have victory. I think God is a winner. Psalm 98 verse number 1 says, "His holy arm hath gotten him the victory." I think God will help you and I to achieve victory. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory." I think God, if you go to Revelation chapter 15, you get to verse number 2, God talks about those who had victory over the beast. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, we're told that we can overcome or have victory over the world. It says, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." I think God wants you and I to be winners. I think God wants you and I to have success. I think God wants you and I to have victory. But I fear that there are many people today that do not have a strong desire to be winners. You know, folks, you need to decide you want to be a winner. I love the song, "I'm on the winning side." I like being on the winning side, but could I recommend something to you? Don't just be on the winning side. Be a part of the win. Be a part of the victory. I like singing the song "Victory in Jesus," and we need to sing it with some drive and some determination and some passion. You ought to want victory. You ought to want to win. You ought to want to succeed. Folks, today there's almost an attitude of lethargy. There's almost an attitude where people want to merely exist. I don't want to merely exist. I want victory. Go after a win in life. Go after a victory. This weekend marked the anniversary date of the death of my dear pastor of years gone by. 10 years ago this weekend, Dr. Jack Hiles passed away. I'll tell you one thing I know about him. He was a winner for Jesus. He wanted to achieve something. He wanted to go to new heights. And he was a winner, and I'm glad I got to watch that. See, I had watched people want to be a winner to make money. And I watched people wanted to be winners to bounce a ball. But it had been rare in my life I'd come across anybody that wanted to be a winner for Jesus Christ. It was rare that I found anybody that wanted victory for the church and victory for the souls of men and victory for Jesus Christ. Folks, so you know, victory won't come to you. You go to it. You go after it. And what I'm going to say to you tonight, this isn't just about sports. That's not the intent. Though, it does have something to do with sports. It's about life. We ought to want to be winners in life, and we ought to be winners for God, and we ought to be winners in our ministries and winners in life. What I'm going to do is, I sat down, I've told you this already, our teenagers at Martinsburg Christian Academy, we had a beginning of the year revival in our Christian school. I spoke a few times, and I had sat down, I wrote myself some notes where I wanted to challenge the teenagers to want to win. I had no intention of bringing it to church. Didn't need to bring it to church. I had about 30 or 40 sermons ready to roll for this evening. But somehow, I just kept thinking that tonight, I want to encourage all of us to want to win. To want to win. I'm going to give you some very quick principles about this thing of wanting to win. God wants us to be successful. God wants us to have victory. God wants us to win. First of all, let me say, there are some wrong attitudes about winning. There are some wrong attitudes about winning. I don't believe in winning at any cost. That's not scriptural. There are people that will cheat to win. I don't believe in that. There are people that will lie to win. I don't believe in that. There are people that get to the point where they're mean or rude. That's not the right kind of victory. That's not how we're to win. So I believe that we ought to do right at any cost, but not win at any cost. Folks, I would rather lose and do right than win and do wrong. And that's something that needs to be calculated into some of you that have a desire to win. There's some people that want to win so bad, you'll break every rule and hurt every person you can to get there. I don't believe in that. I believe there's a way to have victory, but do it right. So there are some wrong attitudes about winning. I don't believe in winning at any cost. I don't believe that we ought to win at the wrong things. You know, there are people in the world that virtually compete and want to win at sin. They want to win at evil. I don't think anybody ought to want to win so bad they want to win at a beer drinking competition. I think that's stupid. I think that's sin. But and you know what's sad? There are people in this room. While you in the world, you get out partying and you had a winning attitude. Now you're in the church and you sit there like a bump on the log. You never want to do anything for God. You know, you don't want to throw yourself into a bus route or a Sunday school class and give your all. But in the world, when you were partying for the devil, you said, let's go for it. Well, when's the last time you went for it? It for God. But I don't believe in winning at the wrong things. I think this. I think you ought to be a good Christian when you lose. I think you ought to be a good Christian when you lose. But that doesn't mean you have to like losing. I didn't say you're supposed to like losing. I said you're supposed to be a good Christian when you lose. I don't think we ought to be satisfied with our losses. I think losses ought to dissatisfy us, but we ought to behave like Christians even when we lose. I don't like that attitude when you win, then all of a sudden everybody else is just trash. I don't like that attitude. I don't think that's a good attitude. I don't think you ought to treat the ones that you have beaten as if they're nobodies. I think that's a wrong attitude about winning. I think pride is bad. I think you ought to be a winner for God more so than a winner for yourself. Here's what I think we ought to do. I think we ought to strive to win, and the moment we win, we ought to humble down. Strive to win. Have the victory. Have success. The minute you get it, humble down. Humble down. Don't be arrogant. Don't be cocky. But there are some wrong attitudes about winning. Secondly, I think if you're going to be a winner, you're going to have to develop a winning attitude. You're going to have to develop a winning attitude. All the principles that I teach you tonight need to become a part of your thinking. Attitude makes a difference. I'll promise you. You can take two teams. They can have the same amount of practice, the same amount of strength. They can have the same amount of players. They can virtually have the same amount of talent and ability. And what will make the difference is one thing. Attitude. 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 Attitude makes a difference when you want to be a winner. Part of winning is your attitude. Attitude affects your determination. Attitude affects your passion. And attitude affects your drive. You need to develop a winning attitude. Not just a I want to exist attitude. Not I just want to participate attitude. But a winning attitude. A winning attitude. And so, I think there are some wrong attitudes about winning. I think, secondly, we ought to develop a winning attitude. Number three, I believe this. And remember, I'm not just talking about sports tonight. Matter of fact, I'm talking very little about sports tonight. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your Christian life tonight. Number three, you ought to practice to win. Practice to win. Don't practice to participate. Practice to win. Don't practice to play. Practice to win. You will perform the way you practice. You practice hard, you'll play hard. You prepare hard, you'll play hard. I'll tell you what'll give you a great day on your bus route on Sunday. It depends on what kind of day you put in on Saturday. Great day on Sunday comes from a great day on Saturday. What was Saturday? Saturday was the preparation. Sunday is a performance. And so, we've got to learn to practice to win. And I'm telling you, folks, I know something about the mental attitude of people. A lot of people practice so that they can participate. There's a difference in practicing to participate and practicing to win. And so, we've got to practice to win. Number four, I've learned that winners just give more than losers. Winners give more than losers. Winners give more than losers in the game. Winners give more than losers in the practice. Winners give more than losers in the preparation. Winners give more than losers in their attitude. Winners give more than losers when it comes to their time. Man said to me, "Can you tell me exactly what it'll take for my church to go where I want it to go?" I said, two things, W-O-R-K and a lot of it. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to give more time and more work and more energy and get up earlier. That's what it'll take. Hey, winners give more than losers when it comes to their money. Winners give more than losers when it comes to their energy. Winners give until it hurts. You ever go out and you run? And if an athlete runs for the purpose of conditioning the body, you run and the average young athlete says, "Oh, coach, my side's starting to hurt." And a wise coach said, "Good, that's right where we need you. Now push it. Right now is where you push it." You say, "Why so?" You give until it hurts and you push the threshold of your tolerance every time you run. That's how you grow. That's how you develop. That's how you become stronger. You see, winners give more than losers. They just give more. You say, "Preacher, I don't have a lot of talent." Then you give more than somebody's got talent. That's what it takes. That's just what you do. Number five, winners are not looking for excuses. Winners are not looking for excuses. Winners are looking for solutions. Winners are not blame casters. They're problem solvers. Winners are not looking to justify their loss, but they're learning to turn their loss into a victory the next time. Winners search for what's wrong with themselves. They don't hide from their own weaknesses. They find their weaknesses, attack their weaknesses, and make their weaknesses their strengths. But folks, let me tell you something. You just look at how often you're making up excuses why you can't, why you don't, why you didn't. And all you're doing is revealing weakness in your life. Winners are not looking for excuses. Winners are looking for solutions. Let me go on. Number six, winners don't take shortcuts. Winners don't take shortcuts. Winners are not looking for the easy way out, but they're looking for the right way. So a winner's not looking for the easy way. The winner is looking for the right way. Folks, there are some real quick spurts and climbs to success, but it's not sustaining success. You know, somebody every once in a while can pull one off and get a last moment victory that's a fluke. But real success that's continuing is not a fluke. Somebody did what it took to continue the success. Winners want to play. Hey, winners want to pay the full price to win. Not afraid to pay full price. Winners don't just want the first place trophy. They want to be what winners are. You hear that? Winners don't just want the first place trophy. Winners want to be what winners are. I'd rather be what a winner is than to have a trophy. There are people that, out of the blue, get the trophy. But everybody knows, the real consistent team, the real solid team, they may have not won that one game, but it was that team that paid the price week in and week out and week in and week out. Winners don't take shortcuts.
Right.
Number next. Winners play hurt.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Winners play hurt. Jesus did. You look at anybody that you admire through history that was a consistent winner. They played hurt.
Yes, sir.
You look at, say, you go to the NFL and you look at some of the great coaches and great players. You don't know everything they were going through, and you don't know everything that they faced, and you don't know how bad they hurt when they got out on that field and gave their best. But I'll guarantee you, they faced burdens, they faced heartaches, they faced aches and pains, and they said, I will keep moving. Because winners play hurt. I've been around some of the great winners. I watched my pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, of 18 years. I watched him play hurt week after week after week. He played hurt. No pain, no gain. Winners are not whiners. I told the boys this when I was preaching this week. Fellas, if you get knocked down in a ball game and you're hurt and it's bad, stay down. But don't give me this junk of you falling down and whining for a few minutes just to get everybody's attention. If you're hurt, okay, be hurt. But if not, don't fake it. Get up and get moving. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Boy, we've got the ambulance. We've got the fire department. We've got the police. We've got the National Guard. They're all on the court because you're down. But you're not even hurt. You get up and run a 100-yard dash like there was never anything wrong. Don't fake it. Get up and go. Now, if you're hurt, fine. But winners play hurt, you see. Winners are not the kind who look for reasons to call in sick. They look for reasons to crawl in. And I know there are people in here, you won't like some of the things I say tonight, especially some mamas. I want to tell you, folks, America's going to be in trouble if we're not careful. There was a time in America where men were taught to fight to the death and to stand up like men and stand up to another country that would dare threaten America. Now we're taking all the bite out of everybody, and we're taking all the fight and the growl out of all of our men today, and everybody's mamby-pamby, sissy, britches, tail between their legs, apologetic about everything. I've got news for you. It's time for America to rear some men again. It's time for some men to stand up and say, I want to win. Well, I'll tell you something. If America's going to go to war, let's not go play. War's not a game. It's not something you play. It's something you do to win. Great group of men in World War I and World War II went to war, and they went to win. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. You see, I believe that winners play hurt. Winners play hurt. I like this. Miss Marie Collins, a first grade teacher, explains to her class that she is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. She asked her pupils to raise their hands if they were Steelers fans too. Not really knowing what a Steelers fan was, but wanting to be liked by their teacher, all the hands went in the air. There is, however, one exception. Paula. Paula has not gone along with the crowd. The teacher asked her why she decided to be different. She said, because I'm not a Steelers fan. Then, asked Miss Collins, what are you? I'm a Green Bay fan, boasts Paula proudly. The teacher asked Paula, why are you a Green Bay fan? Well, my dad and mom, they're Packer fans, so I'm a Packer fan too, responded little Paula. That's no reason, Miss Collins reports. Wonder if your mom was a moron and your dad was an idiot, what would you be then? Paula smiled and said, well, I'd be a Steelers fan then. In America, we've almost taken the fight out of people. That's what a socialistic government will do to you, too. That's what socialism will do to you. It'll take the fight out of you. I say this. I think there are some wrong attitudes about winning, and I don't want us to be like that. But I think you need to develop a winning attitude. You've got to learn to practice to win. Winners give more than losers. Winners are not looking for excuses. Winners don't take shortcuts. Winners play hurt. Then I find that winners have a winning plan, and they follow it. Winners organize. Winners, it's not all hype. I mean, hype wears off. There's got to be a plan. Winners plan, and they prepare to win. Losers just lose. Most winning is on purpose. And some of you, what is keeping you from being a winner is you're not organized. You've got to organize yourself to win. Next, I think winners study winners. Winners study winners. Hey, look, if I were going to battle, I want to study Gideon and find out what Gideon did to win. I think if I were going to battle, I'd want to study Joshua. I'd want to study Joshua so that I could win. I study the church builders of history. I want to know about the J. Frank Norrises and the Beecham Vicks. I want to know about the Lee Robertsons and the Tom Malones and the Jack Hiles. I study them. Why? Winners study winners. Winners study success. Winners study finishers, not quitters. And so, I think you want to be a winner, you better study the winners. Number 10. Most winners, sooner or later, become self-motivated, or they find someone to motivate them. Now, if you plan to be at the top of the totem pole of anything, if you're not a self-motivator, you're going to be in trouble. You are going to be in trouble. If you can't get yourself to do what you ought to do now, I'd be careful trying to go up the corporate ladder too much further. Hey, a winner will practice without the team. See, what winners do, they go to the team practice, then they go to their own practice. Winners don't merely do what's required of all the followers. Winners do what's required of winners. There's always more required of winners than there are for losers. Winners don't need pushed. They push themselves. Winners, winners, they don't challenge the authority that would push them. They love it. They eat it up. You know, most winners are not clock watchers at practice or preparation time. The winners are the ones that are saying, I can't believe practice is over. I want to go harder. I want to do more. And that's how they pick who supervises you. At bottom line, you can't be in supervision if you want to be home before all the employees. Winners pay more. They do more. They work more. They put in more time. That's what winners do. Let me go on. Number 11. I think winning is habitual. I think winning becomes a part of one's habit. The preparation for winning becomes a part of one's habits. Victory becomes habitual. And here's the bad thing. So does losing. Which would you say is your habit? What's your habit? Winning or losing? What's your personal habit? Let me go on. Winners are not quitters. Winners might get knocked down, but they're not knocked out. They'll get back up again. Hey, and winners play hard even when a loss is inevitable.
Yes, sir.
Let me challenge the young men that play athletics for Martinsburg Christian Academy. If we're down by 20 points, you keep playing hard. We'll just use this loss as preparation for the next win. We've got a free practice. We're just going to use this as a practice to get ready, but you play hard. Don't you give up. You say, I'm humiliated. Hey, work hard. Play hard. Play all the way to the end. Quitters are a dime a dozen. They're a dime a dozen. Well, things get tough. Things get hard. People want to quit, throw in the towel. You're never going to do anything. You're never going to be a winner that way. Winners are not quitters. Number next. Winners analyze both their wins and their losses. Winners analyze their wins and losses. You ask, how did we win right there? Can I tell you something? If you have a good day, at the end of the day, stop and look at what you did, write it down, do it again tomorrow. I can't tell you how many churches don't get that. They'll have one great day every 3 years and they can't figure it out. Well, I tell you what, if you had a great day, won't you write it down? Won't you repeat that? Why don't you do it again? Don't change the winning lineup. Ask why you lost and fix it. Study. Study to win. Think to win. But it's going to take some brains. You got to look at what's happening. So winners analyze their wins and losses. Never next. Winners usually associate with winners. Winners follow winners, not losers. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you run with spiritual winners or spiritual losers? There are some of you, you have the potential to be a winner, but you spend all your time with spiritual losers. They will take the win right out of you. You young people, you say, preacher, I'm not a loser. Yeah, but you spend all your time with the losers in the youth department. I'm not a loser. Well, Now, I think we ought to love everybody, but I'm going to tell you something. You spend all your time with losers. You ever heard the old saying, you lay down with pigs, you're going to smell like them? You're going to end up with a curl in your tail, babe. You lay down with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. Winners associate with winners, then. Number next. Winners are people who fulfill their potential by beating themselves. Winners are people who fulfill their potential by beating themselves. Your chances of winning are dependent on pushing yourself, not pushing your opponent. Look, I can only give what I have to give. I don't want to compete at my opponent's level. I want to compete at the highest level that's available to me. Can I tell you something? If I have given everything that I have to give and I lose, I'm not really a loser. I gave everything I had. But too many people compete at the opponent's level. You better compete at the highest level made available to you. Your chances of winning are not dependent on pushing your opponent. It's on pushing yourself. I'll tell you something else. We ought to always be working on bettering ourselves. The hard part about doing your best is some of us are way too satisfied on what our best is. So I did my best. Oh, did you? Did you really? Or did you just do what you did last time? Was it satisfactory to get yourself by? I'm not trying to get by. I'm trying to win. I'm on the winning side. My God is a victorious God. God's never lost anything. Every battle He's ever been in, He never lost one soul that was saved. Never. God's 100% victory.
Amen.
You see, winners are people who fulfill their potential by beating themselves. Can I tell you something? Too many of you are going to sell out short, and I'll tell you why. Because if you can beat everyone around you, you feel like you've done what ought to be done. But wonder if your potential is double everyone around you, and all you did was just enough to beat the guy beside you. I guess you sold yourself short. In other words, the greatest you'll ever become is one step above the person that's under you. I don't want to do just what one person below me can do. I want to do everything God wants me to do. Everything, everything, everything God wants me to do. Next, you got to learn to behave like a winner. Hey, even when you're not. Dress like a winner, even if you're a loser. Walk like a winner, even if you're a loser. Talk like a winner, even if you're a loser. React, respond like a winner, even if you're not. Have the discipline of a winner, even when you're not. Have the character and the dignity of a winner, even if you're not. I'll tell you something. You start dressing like a winner, walking like a winner, talking like a winner, reacting like a winner, responding like a winner, having the discipline of a winner and the character of a winner, it won't be long, you'll be a winner. Number next. Winners have learned to win a little at a time. Winners win a little at a time. You win one quarter at a time. You check most of the baseball games, most of the football games. Oh, I realize sometimes right at the end of the game, somebody pulls out this amazing defeat. But you check the prominent percentage of wins. Most of them were won for a strong game, not a strong quarter. Winners win one quarter at a time. Winners win one inning at a time. Winners win one paycheck at a time. Winners win one Sunday at a time. Winners win one test at a time. Winners win one round at a time. Winners learn to dice up their victory into small, manageable sections, and they win a little at a time.
Good.
I'm almost finished. Winners don't let one loss cause another. This is my last point. Winners don't let one loss cause another. Don't let one loss steal your winning attitude. Let a loss humble you, but not cripple you. Let a loss motivate your attitude, but not massacre your attitude. Hey, new Christian. Say, Brother Owens, I got saved and I started coming to church and started serving God, and I can't believe what I did last night. I went out with my old friends and drank a beer. I just feel like throwing in the towel. I might as well just start partying with them again. I'd blown it. Oh, no. Oh no. Don't let one loss destroy everything. We're all going to suffer some losses along the way. You say, what do I do? Get back up and try again. You say, how many times? The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times but riseth up again. And what that teaches, for every time you get knocked down, get back up. You get knocked down, get back up. And all you need to do to succeed is to have one more get up than you have knocked down. That's it. May I say that children need to be taught to want to win. Teenagers need to be taught to want to win. Men need to be taught to want to win. And ladies. Ladies, you ought to want to win. You ought to want to win in life. Victory is something that God teaches through the Bible. Let's not have the wrong attitudes about victory. But we ought to want to win. That almost makes people in this society uncomfortable.
Yes, sir.
They get on edge when somebody talks like I'm talking. They're just thinking, there's got to be something wrong with that. No, there's something wrong if that's missing.
Right.
What made this country great was we wanted victory in Jesus. And if our country will remain great, there'll have to be Christians striving for victory. Not just for athletics, just in our lives. In our lives, want to win. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ, you're not on the winning side, you need to get saved so you can go to heaven. If you're not saved, you come tonight. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're here tonight, I don't know what it is. I don't know what you're facing, but you ought to want to win. You ought to want victory in your life. Hey, is it a vice in your life? What's getting you down? You can have victory over that thing, but you may have to do some of the things I'm telling you. You're going to want to win. You got to want to win over that vice. You've got to want to win over that sin that seems to dominate your life. Want to win. I believe God has spoken to hearts of children and adults and parents and bus captains and Sunday school teachers. I would like a few Sunday school teachers not to just exist. Oh, I showed up, taught my class. That's all you do. Do you want to be a winner in Sunday school? You want to be a winner with your family? Do you want to be a winner? You got to want to win. Not just exist, but win. Have victory. Have success. Strive for new heights. That's what we ought to want. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation, please. Some of you are so lethargic, it's pathetic. Succeed at home. Succeed at work. Succeed in the ministry. Succeed in your Bible reading. Succeed in your prayer life. Succeed in your soul winning. Succeed with your bus route. Succeed in your ministry. Succeed in that Sunday school class. And once you've given your best, that's all you could give. But have you? Maybe it's time to make your best a little better. It's called growth. Winners play hurt. Winners practice hard so they can play hard. Strive for excellence. We should strive to accomplish and achieve, to fulfill the will of God for our lives. choir one more time through the song, please. One more time. Have a seat there, folks.